Welcome to the Open House Podcast. Conversations exploring life, faith and hope with Stephen O'Doherty.
For years, if not decades to come, the results of Australia's same-sex marriage survey in 2017 will hold a lot of interest for political scientists and researchers alike. The survey recorded a 61% vote in favour of same-sex marriage, 39% against. And how is that result to be read? We know in the latest census, 62% of Australians recorded a religious affiliation, 52% of those were Christians. In the marriage vote again, 39% of Australians on average voted no. Well, does any of that allow you to make an assumption about how religious people voted? Statisticians say no, but we do have two things to allow some conclusions to be made. They even raise some new questions of their own. The census data and the marriage survey data can be broken down by electorate. We went to Ali-Anne Miles of McCrindle Research for some early conclusions.
Obviously, this is really difficult to put into numbers because we don't know the demographic characteristics of those who voted. We can see areas that have a strong Christian representation in parts of our nation voted. Most of those voted yes. Is that because they were outnumbered by the non-Christians in their communities? Is that because Christians, many Christians have perhaps voted yes, others have voted no? It's uncertain. There is a correlation. There's a stronger correlation in some of the other non-Christian religious groupings, Islam, for example, where we do see a correlation between being religious and voting no. So as to the strength of that correlation, it's really hard to tell nationally.
Even comparing, for instance, the difference from one seat to another seat in the strength of the no vote, does that give you any inkling about how religious communities may have voted?
I think what it does is show the correlation between secularism. So rather than showing us truly how Christian communities vote, because there's a number of other religions in our communities, the more that someone was likely to say, actually, I have no belief or have no spiritual faith of any extent, the more likely they were to be a very strong yes voter. So the inverse was certainly a correlation that was observed in the eastern parts and in the central parts of our major cities and major capitals. There's some differences, though, in some of the areas where we might have predicted a yes vote in the strong sort of Bible Belt areas of Sydney, particularly Mitchell, as well as areas of the Sutherland Shire that actually ended up voting no.
Was the pattern similar in other states?
The pattern was similar in some outskirts of Melbourne, which had some strong no votes on the outer skirts of the capital, but in the other states, most of the outlying areas of the region, like in Brisbane, voted yes as well. So it was more the rural and regional areas who then voted no up in Queensland. So it is quite interesting how strong and how many electoral areas voted no within Western Sydney. That was quite surprising.
Now, just to go back on to the point you were making, those areas where mega churches are, so for example, you've mentioned the electorate of Mitchell, that's where the Hillsong Church is centred. Journalists will often write quite glibly that, oh yes, it's the Bible Belt, therefore they must be very conservative people. That didn't show up in that electorate's response to the marriage survey.
That's right. I think part of this, the reason is that it's not necessarily a decision that's exactly aligned to a person's religion. Even within the church, there were different views around this. And so I think that it's just one small social issue. It's one, not a small social issue, but it's one social issue that is very different to how a person might normally vote if they had to vote for a party. And so that's based on personal views and morality and attitude rather than a whole ream of other decision-making factors that someone might take into account when they're voting for a political party.
Yes, I can say that old school journalists who I know from the past, and perhaps current journalists today, sometimes take the view that that being a Christian means you go to church and your minister or the priest tells you what to vote and you vote that way. If it ever was the case in Australia, and it may have been in the previous century or the one before that, it's not the case now.
That's certainly right. And many people obviously do a lot of searching and digging and did in the lead up to the vote to assess what they would think for themselves. So it's certainly not is something where, you know, some of the commentary that we've been reading about Western Sydney and why Western Sydney voted, there's been commentary that says that's been mediated through religious institutions, or it's been done by a sort of a singular tunnel vision, which certainly isn't the case for people of religious faith.
Well, let's go to that. I did read a piece in The Conversation, a website that investigates things. It's a good website. We often refer to their articles, but somebody who's actually on the Multicultural Council of New South Wales wrote the following about Western Sydney. The opposition to same-sex marriage and to the related issues that the No campaign raised, such as the Safe Schools Coalition, was particularly resonant in communities where people have, and here's the kicker, fairly poor educational backgrounds, somewhat limited English language skills, and their information is mediated primarily through religious institutions. That's a pretty damning indictment, and an unfair indictment, isn't it, of people who voted no, especially in those seats like Blaxland, New South Wales, that have large multi-ethnic populations?
Absolutely, and I think this is a part of a broader conversation around how we handle the results of this going forward and how we treat other people as equals in society. What this survey has done is led to some very polarizing views about this or that type of person, and it goes both ways in the conversation, where the no voters are labeled by the yes voters and vice versa. And I think that the challenge is to get back to our grassroots, get back to basics, and really begin to delve deep into a personal understanding of the issue rather than perhaps a labeling from a distance. And I think the challenge here is to get to know multicultural communities and to understand their views, their perspectives, rather than perhaps labeling them as uneducated or narrow-minded. And I think that'll be a continuing conversation to take place.
It would be
at a broader scale.
Oh, absolutely! It would be a dreadful, dreadful shame. Quite a perverse act if one just act on the part of a population that says, yeah, okay, we recognise there's a discrimination there, let's change that law, if that's replaced by another type of discrimination or indeed a closing down of a diversity. The diversity is great as long as it's progressive diversity.
Yeah, that's right. And obviously, Sydney's incredibly multicultural. There's so many different nationalities that are represented, and that does come through in the results. And you can see the very clear lines between very strong yes voters and very strong no voters just a few kilometres away. Mm. And so we do have to be careful within our own city to ensure that the dialogue is continued, and as our communities continue to evolve and take shape and change, that we don't somehow separate across those small geographic boundaries.
Mm-hmm. What else does the data tell you as a demographer about the nature of the Australian population?
I think it's shown that at large, we have seen a lot of shift over time on this debate, that the move to 62%, it was nationally predicted by the polls and therefore not completely unsurprising, but it does show some correlations demographically across the board to individuals who voted yes being of a higher income earners, more highly educated, more likely to be female, and also more likely to be younger. And so there's some demographic correlations that can be seen right across the board across Australia. Now, obviously, there's exceptions to the rule, but generally speaking, most of those electorates follow those types of demographic characteristics.
Discover more Open House podcasts at openhousecommunity.com.au.